Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
Have you ever noticed how different countries and cultures have hang-ups about different things? In the United States, we have a hang-up about hormones. And while we apply this hang-up and the beliefs that go with it to members of our own species, where you really see it is when we project it on our companion animals, and specifically dogs, perhaps because they're the ones with whom we've had the longest relationship. And so we wind up making these sometimes irrational and usually totally unscientific associations. Testosterone causes violence. Female hormones, the seasonal cycles, are associated with yuck, mess. Get rid of it as soon as possible. And only dogs, disgusting dogs, would zero in on the scent of another dog, and God forbid they did it to a person. I've been thinking about this more recently because dogs and cats seem to be maturing more slowly. And because of this, the amount of time that they spend with their moms is even more important to them. They need that contact with a mature adult in a parental mode to teach them what they need to know about being members of their own species. The other thing is that, like all mammals, bitches secrete a pheromone, sometimes referred to as appeasement pheromone, when they nurse their young. This keeps the young in a learning mode, and it also comforts them. In puppies, it's very possible that this pheromone lies at the root of the following reflex, because it says to the pup, "Pay attention to me. I'll take care of you." To learn that lesson while suckling makes it that much easier. So when puppies are taken away from their mothers too young increasingly means before 12 weeks of age. When they're taken away before that, these animals lose on two counts. If they don't have a mature adult dog willing to teach them, who's going to do it? A person? No way. It's impossible because we don't see the way a dog or a cat sees. We don't smell what they smell. Much of what they smell is beyond our capacity. We can't even begin to imagine what it's like. The same thing with their hearing. So pheromones, communicating hormones, are part of this process. So when these animals are taken away from skilled parental care of their own species too early, not only don't they get all of the lessons those mature adults would have taught them, they also miss out on the comforting effects of these pheromones. And in the case of puppies, the message, follow me, pay attention to me. Is it any wonder when these animals go into a new home why they seek out adult animals, be they dog or cat, and the same or a different species, and almost harass them in an attempt to affiliate with them and to gain comfort? To me, that sounds like perfectly normal behavior, as does the fact that these animals, if they don't have access to that kind of comfort, are extremely prone to stimulus overload. And if you don't understand what's going on, you could easily look at them and say, oh my God, that animal's aggressive. That animal's got a brain tumor. There's a chemical imbalance there. There's something wrong with that animal. We position ourselves at the top of the species pyramid and we think that whatever we think, whatever we perceive, is the right and only true reality. And we see our job. Excuse me. Had to pet the cat. We see our job as guardians, owners, or what have you, not as providing them with more skilled teachers than we would ever be. We see ourselves as standing to one side, barking or growling commands, demanding that they learn our language and they learn to read our thoughts in addition to everything else. And then when it doesn't work, we blame them. The thought of pheromone communication to me makes so much sense. Born blind, born with ears closed. All we have is a sense of smell. Why wouldn't that be a kitten's or a puppy's primary form of communication? Why would we even think to separate them from their own kind when they have so much to gain by staying with their moms for as long as she thinks is necessary? What? My cat's having a spell. It's raining outside, but it's coming in like these torrential downpours, and then it stops, and then it starts. So he just came in because there was one. Now he thinks he wants to go out, but he's not sure. He's standing here at the door. He's looking. He's not sure. I'm not going to stand here and hold the door open for him. So the door is closed, and he'll probably start running around again. No doubt behavior he learned from his mother. So the point of all this is that hormones, and they're even more refined, exquisite form pheromones, they're a fantastic part of all of us. Just because we've lost the ability to appreciate them is no reason to say they don't exist, or worse, to denigrate their function. When you see puppies that are raised by good bitches or other mature adults, you can't help but realize what a beautiful, beautiful system it is. So let's hear it for hormones. Let's hear it for pheromones. All that magic, and we barely scratched the surface.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.